Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the organizer of a national and international protest that will take place on Saturday, April the 15th, otherwise known as Tax Day. Jennifer Taub, a law professor at Vermont Law School, whose research focuses on corruption, corporate political spending, and the links between money and politics, joins us to discuss how she was inspired by Kellyanne Conway's dismissive remark that voters don't care whether Trump releases his tax returns. She, along with some comedians and the creator of House of Cards, have created a movement that has stimulated 130 national and global events in a tax march, taking place on Saturday, to point out that while ordinary folks have to pay taxes, Trump does not even feel he owes voters the transparency of whether or not he pays taxes. Meanwhile, Trump and the Republicans are preparing what they refer to as tax reform that will give even more tax breaks to the rich and begin the dismantling of Social Security. Then we'll speak with Stephen Pfeiffer, the director of the Brookings Institution's Arms Control Initiative. He served on the National Security Council as senior director for Russia, Ukraine, and Eurasia, and joins us to discuss today's meeting in Moscow between Secretary of State Tillerson and Vladimir Putin. We will discuss the wild swings in U.S. foreign policy of late and speculate whether Putin regrets helping elect Trump now that his former friend finds it beneficial to distract the public from the Russia investigation by bombing Putin's Syrian ally, Assad. Then finally, George Lakoff joins us in the studio. He is a professor of cognitive science and linguistics at the University of California, Berkeley, and author of The All-New Don't Think of an Elephant. We will discuss what strategies of resistance are forming in response to the Trump administration in the absence of any strategy coming from the Democratic Party, and look into ways in which progressives can engage conservatives who support Trump, even though he has no empathy for them or the issues they care about. And joining us now is Jennifer Taub, who's a professor at the Vermont Law School. Previously, she coordinated the business law program at the Eisenberg School of Management at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and was also associate general counsel for Fidelity Investments and assistant vice president for the Fidelity Fixed Income Funds. She's the author of Other People's Houses, and her latest book is Corporate and White Collar Crime. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jennifer Taub.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Ian.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, and I'm very proud of what you're doing. You went to the Women's March on the day after Donald Trump's inauguration in Boston, and then you were looking at television the next day, and Kellyanne Conway pops up and says that Donald Trump is not going to release his tax returns and that voters don't care. And that kind of got under your skin, and then you just started tweeting out, "Show us your taxes," protest for Saturday, April the 15th, which is tax day coming up. And from your lips to what, 150 organized protests around the country and the world about to happen on Saturday?
So it's kind of amazing. Yeah, there are about 100, there's more than 150 rallies and marches planned across the country and abroad, all the way from Anchorage, Alaska, down to the March-a-Lago, which is being held in Palm Beach, Florida.
So tell me about how this proceeded from your just getting ticked off by Kellyanne Conway on television to Saturday's protest that is growing by the day, and it's going to be very colorful. There'll be people dressed in chicken suits, the refrain being Donald Trump is too chicken to show us his tax returns. The Democrats, of course, in Congress have been, you know, stepping up and filing bills along the lines of forcing Trump to release his tax returns in the way that the Republicans kept voting on getting rid of Obamacare. So they're, to some extent, keeping their feet on the fire. So walk us through how this grew into Saturday's massive protests around the country and around the world.
Sure. I mean, our centerpiece march is going to be in Washington, D.C., and there are numerous marches in California, including one in right there in Los Angeles, and the leader, one of the main organizers of that march is Delia Brown. But it grew into this massive movement quite literally overnight. it started out with a tweet of mine that you mentioned, and also a comedian named Frank Lesser, who used to write for the Colbert Report. We didn't know each other until we both, were thinking alike. I was very frustrated that Kellyanne Conway, who is an aide to Donald Trump, said that he was never going to release his taxes and that people didn't care. And, you know, I knew people cared. I'd seen the petition on the White House website that people were signing in droves, and I knew that I cared. And I just thought I would express that. I was feeling very hopeful. As you mentioned, I'd gone to the Women's March. I'd gone to the rally and march in Boston. And it just was an idea that we should have a march on April 15th, which I knew was a Saturday. In my wildest dreams, I did not actually think that I would be involved in transforming that idea into a march. But when I say that happened overnight, what I mean is I sent out, I put out these tweets around 2 in the afternoon. Frank's came at around 4. And because he's connected in the entertainment industry, lots of people he knew were retweeting it. And then the next thing I knew, the next morning, on Monday morning, I wake up and see there's this article in the Huffington Post that featured both of our tweets and said, hey, this should be the next big protest after the Women's March. And then people saw that article, I guess, and saw the tweets and started contacting me saying, hey, how can I help you get this going? And I kind of laughed to myself, thinking, what do you mean, help me? I'm not doing anything. I'm just tweeting. And it turns out, I got in touch with Frank, thinking maybe he would have some ideas. And by that time, by Monday, some folks had already started planning their, these satellite marches. And I connected with them, and then we, within days, had formed an executive committee and began setting up a website that could be an umbrella site. And just figuring this thing out, and what the metaphor I love, one of my colleagues running the Philadelphia March and on the executive committee, Gwen Schneider, says, we were building a plane in midair, and it sure feels like that.
So you got Frank Lesser, the comedian, on board, and then Patton Oswalt and Billy Eichner, and along with and Bo Willimon, of course, the creator of the Netflix TV series House of Cards, and how do you shame the shameless? Because I don't think Donald Trump gives a damn about anybody but himself and his family and making money. And I don't know how you get to him, because he really, he was trained by Roy Cohen to be just ruthless and in your face and take no prisoners. But it is pretty outrageous that he doesn't show us the decency and courtesy to reveal his taxes as previous presidents have. But it's particularly galling that this is happening at a time when the Republicans are preparing what they call tax reform, which will involve massive tax cuts for the extraordinarily wealthy, Donald Trump's cronies and backers, along with something that's really mendacious, which the Associated Press are reporting, that the Republicans are toying with the idea of eliminating the payroll tax, which funds Social Security and parts of Medicare. And this has been described by Social Security advocate Nancy Altman as a Trojan horse that appears to be a gift in the form of middle-class tax relief, but would, if enacted, lead to the destruction of working Americans' fundamental economic security in Social Security. So there's an awful lot at stake here.
You're absolutely right, and I'm glad you mentioned those themes, because this march is about so much more than just asking the president to release his taxes, just like every president has done since Watergate. It's bigger than that. We care about tax policy. And by that, I mean what you've touched upon, which is that we need everybody to pay their fair share, but also how we use those tax dollars. How can we use this public resource to fund the services, the activities, the communities to help us all thrive, not just survive in this country? How do we create a society of shared prosperity when we are an incredible country with tremendous resources, and those resources and opportunities need to be spread fairly?
So is there a way, do you think? I mean, my sense is that protest and resistance is happening almost in spite of the Democratic Party. they are the opposition party, but they're not offering any strategies of resistance. And the day after the inauguration, there was a spontaneous manifestation of millions of women around the world, and that you were at the Boston March, and that helped get you moving in this direction too. So it's happening, but at the same time, I believe something like 85 to 90% of Republicans are just absolutely thrilled with Donald Trump and what he's doing. So how do you reach those people? Because he's taking them for a ride. He doesn't give a damn about them. He has no empathy as a human being, and he doesn't care about these people, but they don't know that yet. And they're going to have to learn the hard way. And unfortunately, all of us will be collateral damage in that learning process.
You know, I have some optimistic thoughts on this. I guess a couple of things. I wanted to say one thing directly to talk about the Republicans, and then also some things about the Democratic Party leaders. So, you know, yesterday's special election in Kansas was a real warning sign. That was pretty close. The Democratic challenger in a Republican district got very, very close to potentially winning. And that should make, I think, all congressional Republicans very, very nervous about their prospects in 2018. What I want to say about the Democratic leaders is I'm so thrilled that we have three members of Congress speaking at our march in D.C. Senator Ron Wyden, who has been a leading voice on trying to get Trump to release his tax returns and also on tax fairness for years. We also have Representative Maxine Waters and Representative Jamie Raskin. As you know, Maxine Waters is just incredible. She's very popular now, especially with the millennials, because she really speaks truth, cuts right through it. And I am, you know, she to me is, you know, a rock star. Cannot wait to hear her speak there. Also, Jamie Raskin is a freshman Democrat in from Maryland, and so excited to hear his voice as well. So what I am seeing is power is a challenging thing. When you have one party, in this case the Republican Party, with all three branches of government, the minority party is in a tough position. So what's interesting here is that, as you know, Democrats made up the majority of voters. You know, Hillary Clinton in the presidential campaign won the popular vote by more than 3 million votes. And where that matters is it matters on the telephone, it matters in the protests, and it's going to matter. It's going to matter in 2018 as well. And so what I think is happening is we're seeing this fourth branch of government, we the people, civic leaders stepping forward in every community saying, we got this, and we do, and this is just the beginning.
So, but what about how do you reach Trump's people? Because even though Trump has no empathy for them, Hillary Clinton certainly didn't show any empathy towards these people. She called them deplorable, and I don't think that's helpful. And I think they're being had, but, you know, as I mentioned, we're also collateral damage in the learning curve that's necessary for people to find out that they've been had. You know, if you buy a lemon, you don't like admitting that you've been had. So it's not an easy process, and I'm wondering if there's any way to accelerate that process.
You know, I guess I have two thoughts on that. First of all, I do have friends and family members who are Republicans, and privately, they tell me how disappointed they are in this president and, frankly, embarrassed by him. Doesn't mean that they're going to say that publicly. In terms of the economic disenfranchisement issues, those are strong and those are real. And I think what's critical is, although I'm participating in something that where I'm asking, you know, the president to do something that he doesn't want to do, we need much more, obviously, in the progressive, in terms of the progressive policies than to be against something. And I think we're definitely for something. And I think the first piece of it, when I think about a progressive agenda, the first is shared prosperity. And everything that we need to do that, which is a living wage for all. I think the second piece of a progressive agenda is having affordable health care. And I think that needs to be through Medicare for all, for example. The third piece of a progressive agenda would be affordable higher education. And by that, it should be debt-free. I think the fourth piece of a progressive agenda would be true equality and dignity for all, and that is especially especially when it comes to communities of color and interactions with law enforcement. And I think the final piece for a progressive agenda would be having a safe, sustainable planet. And I think those five pieces are really what so many of us care about. And part of what we're doing now is saying, you know, what do we want and how do we create that? And I think TaxMarch is part of that.
Well, just in the last minute then, Jennifer Taub, do you think that there's a way to get Trump to at least acknowledge that this issue has not gone away, his taxes?
We will see. I have not yet seen a tweet from him, but I'll let you know if I do.
Well, he watches television, right? And you're going to have a lot of things for him to see.
There will be lots of cameras at the D.C. event, so perhaps he'll tune in. Or I understand that he might be down at his resort in Mar-a-Lago, so maybe he'll, you know, take a look out the window and see the protesters.
Well, Jennifer Taub, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thanks so much, Ian. Great to be here.
And again, I've been speaking with Jennifer Taub, who's a professor at the Vermont Law School. Previously, she coordinated the business law program in the Eisenberg School of Management at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and was also associate general counsel for Fidelity Investments and assistant vice president for the Fidelity Fixed Income Funds. She's the author of Other People's Houses, and her latest book is Corporate and White Collar Crime. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back looking into the meeting today between Secretary of State Tillerson and Vladimir Putin and the wild swings in U.S. foreign policy of late.